Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mom of six. Hey, homeschoolers. One reason you may be stressed in your homeschool is because of how much time it takes. If you feel like you would be a happier homeschooler if you could finish schooling in less time, this is the episode for you. First, I'd like to ask you a favor. If I can show you how to save time homeschooling, would you share 2 minutes of that time savings posting a review of this podcast on iTunes? Reviews encourage people to give a podcast a try. I'd be so appreciative if you would let people know that the Homeschool Sanity Show is worth their time. Thank you in advance. This week's teaching tip is a list of 100 plus places you can find planner printables for 2016 at cornerstoneconfessions.com. Kathy Gossin not only provides us with a 140-page set of free planner pages she's designed herself, but a new 180-page premium color set. She also lists dozens of other planning pages like my One Thing To-Do list that you'll want to include in your 2016 planner. Creating a custom planner is a great way of making the best use of your time in the new year. Be sure to check it out at cornerstoneconfessions.com. This week's Organized Homeschool Challenge of the Week is the Daily Routine Challenge. One of the things that appealed to me about homeschooling was that I wouldn't have to have a schedule. I relished the idea of getting up when I felt like it. I also tried doing laundry and dishes and teaching when I felt like it when I started homeschooling. The problem was I didn't feel like it very often. Something needed to change, or I felt I would have to send my kids to school. What changed is that I came across some emails by a woman named Marla Silly, aka Fly Lady. She gave me an alternative to a rigid schedule in her morning and evening routines. It seems so obvious that life runs more smoothly when you have an organized pattern of activities, but it wasn't to me. The impact of loading and running the dishwasher each evening was huge. So was scheduling errands and doctor's appointments on the same day of the week. There were many other benefits. But when it came to schoolwork, I was very much influenced by managers of their homes. I wished I could be as super organized as Terry Maxwell, so I initially created a packed schedule to manage my growing family. Then I was very frustrated that I never, ever followed it to a T. I returned to a routine for schoolwork, but then managed to take the routine to an extreme, too. Today, I use a fluid combination of a schedule and a routine, helped along by my children keeping me accountable. In other words, Mom, are we going to start school? Your challenge for this week. Number one, you and your older children track your routine or schedule. The biggest mistake I have made where routines and schedules are concerned is trying to make too many changes at once. Rather than trying to plan the ideal routine, see what you're doing right now. I really dislike time tracking in general, but an overview of what you're actually doing is a very good idea. Older kids can definitely participate in this as time management is an increasingly important skill in our culture. Best not to let them record what you and others are actually doing in their opinions. You can track on paper, listing the hours of the day on the left and your basic activities on the right. If you have subscribed to Psycho with Six or purchased your copy of The Organized Homeschool Life, you will have access to subscriber freebies that includes a form for tracking your routine this week. Step number two, keep tracking and choose one schedule change to try. The book, The House That Cleans Itself, taught me to use what's already happening to my advantage. Let me give you an example to clarify. Let's say that you'd really like to do family devotions after dinner, but you see from tracking your schedule of actual activities that you tend to watch movies as a family instead. You could A, watch Christian or biblical films at that time, B, discuss secular movies from a biblical worldview, looking up verses, or C, you could choose a better time for family devotions. Trying to enforce more than one schedule change will likely frustrate your family and drain your energy. Pray about the change that would have the biggest impact. You have plenty of time to make more changes as this one becomes second nature. Step number 3, keep tracking and plan a time to evaluate your schedule change. You may not want to keep tracking, I get it, but the days fluctuate and you may see some important patterns that have to be addressed. Implement your one change. Older kids can choose an individual change also. And put a note on your calendar or use the reminder function of a smartphone to assess how well it's working. This is the step so many of us leave out. Assessment keeps changes in the problem-solving realm rather than the blaming realm. If it's working, wonderful. Discussing it with the kids, if it impacts them, will teach them how to problem-solve and manage time. If it's not, it's important to determine why not and brainstorm potential solutions. Don't give up assuming that you're just not organized. The final step is to keep tracking and choose a schedule format. Continue tracking and through the weekend if you'd like. Save this information for next summer when we will be working on your homeschooling schedule in depth. Decide on how to keep your schedule or routine visible. I have a home routines app on my phone, a schedule in my homeschool planner and the kids, and I have it posted in the kitchen and schoolroom using magnetic frames. Are you getting the idea that I don't want to forget? One change I plan to make is to acknowledge that the schedule or routine can be regularly updated. I have the file on Word. It doesn't take much to update it and reprint. Let me know what change you're implementing this week by tweeting me at PsychoWith6 or emailing me at PsychoWith6@gmail.com. I don't want to waste your time, so let's get right to today's topic. How can you save homeschooling time? There are all kinds of little time-saving tips I could share, but I'd rather give you the big time savers. The biggest time saver of all is to allot less of your day to teaching. Up until a couple of years ago, I thought I had to spend the same number of hours a day teaching as teachers in traditional schools. That may be surprising to you, but I was really thrown off by the schedules of a lot of homeschoolers I'd seen. Their schedules seemed to closely mirror traditional schedules, even in terms of devoting a full hour to many subjects. With 6 kids, I felt I needed to be actively teaching until at least 3 p.m. That didn't leave me much time for all the other tasks I had as a mother, homemaker, and writer. I was sure that if I just worked harder, like I imagined the other homeschoolers were doing, that I could make everything fit. Then I found some homeschool schedules of committed bloggers, and I was enlightened. These mothers weren't teaching all day long. Why was I? I decided to limit my actual teaching time to no more than 2 hours in the morning, with co-op days being the exception. The results? I was happier, felt better about myself as a teacher, and I had more balance in my life. If you're intrigued by the idea of spending less time teaching, you may be wondering how to make it work. That's what I'd like to share next. First, teach as many subjects as possible to all your children. I used Konos with all my kids for years. It's a hands-on unit study curriculum for K through 8. More recently, I've taught Bible, history, language arts, and younger kid science to multiple kids. It works. Younger kids absorb more than you think. I typically choose curriculum directed to a fifth grade level, and it's appropriate for all my elementary to junior high kids. Mystery of History, Answers for Kids, and Shirley Grammar, for which I used the seventh grade book, are examples of curriculum I've used across grade levels. Some of your curricula will give you suggestions on how to modify it for younger or older learners. But if yours doesn't, just do what makes sense. Have younger students dictate papers to you. Skip activities that don't work. Add extra reading or papers for older students. You'll be surprised at how well it works. Second, don't teach every subject every year. This is huge. We get the idea that we have to teach foreign language, geography, history, logic, art, music appreciation, computer skills, home ec, and more all year, every year, and we just don't. Math and language arts, and for us as Christian homeschoolers, Bible and character are musts. Everything else can be rotated in as we have time. Of course, if you and your children are passionate about a subject, devote more time to it. But remember that we want to expose our children to lots of different subjects when they're young. Mastery happens later. It was a huge relief when I realized I could let go of subjects for a time, as well as a big time savings. Third, spend less time per subject. There is great wisdom in a Charlotte Mason approach of spending a little bit of time on a subject and then moving on. Why? Because attention spans are short. The younger your children, the shorter they are. Even adults retain more information when the learning sessions are short. Short sessions have the added benefit of keeping motivation high. If you read just one chapter of a read aloud, the kids will be eager to hear more tomorrow or today if you cave like I often do. I explained this approach in my post, How to Homeschool in an Hour a Day, but I'd like to elaborate a bit. Pare your lessons down to the bare bones. If you're teaching from Shirley Grammar, for example, explain the tenses. Do the guided practice together. If you're not sure they have it, have them complete more exercises in their student workbook on their own. Skip the rest of the material or save it for another day. I am using other curricula to teach writing, but as I review their papers with them, I can ask them about tenses. In the process, I don't drill and kill my kids' interest in English, and I save myself time. Fourth, choose curriculum that your children can use independently. This is something people who don't homeschool don't understand. I didn't drill phonics with my youngest. I had him use a phonics computer program for that. I don't teach math now that my kids are older. I give them Life of Fred math books and answer their questions and check their work. I don't teach high school health either. My boys complete this Alpha Omega course on their own. Independent coursework could be in book, audiobook, or computer form, or could even be a course you create with your older student. My only caution on this is that beginning readers and students who struggle with a subject need your help. That's time that you want to be investing. It pays off. Now I'd like to get my Periscope viewers' advice for how to homeschool in less time. Candace homeschools her youngest son first because he needs more time. Then she teaches her older two together. This is great advice for those of you who have younger learners. Marky reviews the night before what she will be teaching the next day. This is also great advice and something I want to make a habit this year. You can find Marky at lifewithmrscooks.blogspot.com. CMW 28 adds, "When I was a classroom teacher, I was taught that 10 minutes of planning gave you an hour later." Hopefully that inspires you. Sarita suggests that having her husband help during the evenings and weekends saves her time. I would add that being specific about what you need help with is important. Tara at minivanministries.com suggests audiobooks and doing as many subjects together as possible. I love audiobooks, and I'm with Tara. I teach Bible, history, and language arts to more than one child at a time. My Father's World and Mystery of History on CD were other suggestions. One of my Periscope viewers asked about recording hours if we are homeschooling in less time. Christina reminded us that everything counts. If you need hours, you can count every educational thing that your child does towards school hours. If your child breezes through a lesson that would normally take a classroom hour, you can also count it as a school hour. Thanks to my Periscope viewers for those tips. This week's action steps are to consider ways of homeschooling in less time. Don't plan to homeschool all day, or that is exactly what you'll be doing. Teach subjects to all your children, or teach pairs as often as you can. Spend less time teaching. Get away from the idea that every subject should take an hour. Check out my post, How to Homeschool in an Hour a Day, for more. Finally, choose curriculum that your children can use independently, especially as their reading skills develop. Find the links to everything in today's show at homeschoolsanity.com/less time. Speaking of time, I really appreciate that you took some of yours to listen in. I love listening to podcasts when I walk, drive, or even when I'm showering with a waterproof Bluetooth speaker. Those ideas might make it easier for you to listen to all your favorite podcasts. I will be on vacation next week, so the next episode of the Homeschool Sanity Show will be available in 2 weeks. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.